Good morning, Kansas Land. David Hallauer, Meadowlark Extension District Agent Crops and Soils with Extension today. Want to hit on a couple of forage-related topics this week. The first one is kind of a look back at last year at this time. You know, if you remember back in our brome stands, we were dealing a lot with pretty heavy fall armyworm feeding. We had a lot of injury that has even kind of lasted all through the growing season into this fall, with some stands still in pretty rough shape. I wanted to give you a little bit of update on where we stand from the standpoint of pressure this summer. We do have a moth trapping network throughout the state with three of those traps located in Northeast Kansas in our Meadowlark Extension District. And so far, those numbers have not gotten to the significantly high levels that we saw last summer. We are starting to see a little bit more numbers in the south central and western part of the state. I don't know what that will mean for us, but it is good to be aware that those numbers are increasing. And we have been finding actually moths in our traps all through the summer, so since the 1st of June. What's that all mean? It's not to cause concern, but it is a reminder that we need to be vigilant about that pest out there. If we've had moths in those traps all summer, then it's likely that some reproduction has occurred in some of these stands. And that may mean that we may start to see some feeding out there. So it's a good time to poke your head into the stand. Make sure that you're not seeing anything that's suspicious. A lot of these stands are not in great shape to handle too much feeding, so I think it's important that we're vigilant about that. We have heard some isolated reports of stands down in the east central and south central part of the state seeing some injury. And again, while we haven't necessarily heard or seen that at a significant level here, it's good to be reminded that September is that time frame when we often start to see that feeding, and so it's a good time to get out there and start to take a look. We don't want those stands to get any further behind than they already are. If you want to discuss what that scouting looks like, or maybe what that recovery might look like, any of our local extension agents would be happy to visit with you about that as it's helpful to you. The second topic I want to talk about from the forage standpoint is a little bit of a look ahead, and that is, what about lime in our forage stands? You know, we have known from long periods of research that appropriate pH levels help optimize production. And it's been standard practice to apply them in our field crops, but we can't ignore them in our forage crops as well. And by forage crops, I'm not just talking, you know, the annual crops that we plant or the alfalfa that we're planting, those higher value crops, but even our pastures and hay fields as well. There's a quote that I recently saw from Mississippi State University Extension Forage Specialist Rocky Lemus. He made this statement: liming becomes a critical management practice to neutralize soil acidity, enhance nutrient availability, and boost forage productivity. Liming must be the first target of any fertility program before any other nutrients are added to the system. Now, that says a lot, I think, about what Dr. Lemus and some others think about how pH affects what we do in our system out there. You know, it comes down a lot to nutrient availability and crop nutrient use efficiency. And so simply put, it means this: if we keep pH in an ideal range, now that can vary by crop and nutrient, but let's say around 6.0 and above, we help keep nutrients that we do apply more plant available. When we venture outside of those optimum ranges, higher or lower, the efficiency of our applications can then be compromised. So essentially, we're applying the recommended nutrients that are coming from the soil test, but the plant really isn't efficiently utilizing them to enhance production. You know, that's not a great deal when margins are good, but it can really hit the pocketbook hard when margins are tight. And that's why Dr. Lemus and others put a big focus on correcting that pH appropriately with lime. You know, with the haying mostly wound down, and as we approach the back half of our growing season, it's a really good time, I think, to start thinking about what your soil fertility plan might look like for next season. You know, we've got a little bit of soil moisture, you know, and a soil test is a great place to start, and you should certainly take a second look at soil pH out there. You know, sometimes it's easy to look past that as the first number on the test, but it's often the first number on the test for a reason, and that's because it's important. If pH levels are low enough, the nutrient availability and efficiency could be a concern, then I think it's time to really strongly consider lime applications. And we want to do that. There's going to be a cost to it, but we also have a huge cost to not addressing those low pH levels. A soil test can help you get a first look at where to help focus those dollars in 2027, so you're not throwing product out there that isn't getting good use. If you want to talk more about what soil testing might look like, again, contact any of your local extension agents. We'd be happy to visit with you. It's not necessarily a complicated process, but there are some small things, some tips I think that we can give you that can help you get the most out of your soil sampling program and the results that come from it. Hope everybody has a great weekend. This has been David Hallauer, Meadowlark Extension District Agent Crops and Soils with Extension today.